Kisavo, Tavshinayim Tav. Okay. So these are the last sukkim in the end of last week's parsha, Kiseitse. It says, Vahaya, Behaniach Hashem Elokecha Mikol Oyvecha, Misaviv, Ba'aretz, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosen Lecha Nachol, Mishto, Timcha Zechra Molech, Mitachat Hashemayim, Lo Tishkach. So the last sukkim at the end of Parsha's Kiseitse talk about remembering, that which Amalek did to us. And what do you call it? And to obliterate their memory, their presence. Mitachas Hashemayim. Then the first pasuk in our parsha is Vayera Kisevo El Oretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosen Lecha Nachalot V'Rishto V'Yashav Taba. When you first come to Eretz Yisrael, the first mitzvah in this week's parsha is Bikurim. Says the Baal HaTorim. Is a Baal Torim. Ksiv le'el mine. It says, right, the pasuk we just saw before at the end of Kiseitse. Timche zechra molek. V'samich le. And immediately right after it, here in the beginning of our parsha, is Vayaki Savoy Loretz, the mitzvah of Bikurim. Shinitstavu limcho zechra molek. Miad b'knisosim la'aretz. That they should destroy what he called Amalek when you first come to Eretz Yisrael. So that's the first thing the Baal HaTorim says. In other words, the end of last week's Parsha is the discussion of Amalek, and then it says ha'kisavo la'aretz when you come to Eretz Yisrael, and to tell you that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, one of the first things you should do is destroy Amalek. Fine. No, just last week it talked about destroying it. It didn't say when you're going to do it. I mean, it's one of the mitzvahs that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you're supposed to appoint a king, and when he's supposed to destroy Amalek and then build a base on Mikdash. And that's why Shmuel came and told Shaul that he was supposed to go and wipe out Amalek. He didn't do the full job, and that's where we get Agag from, and that's for Cape Haman, etc., etc., etc. But then the Baal HaTorim continues. Val ze rotza la'akev bi'osan. Fascinating. In other words, Amalek wants to prevent us from coming to Eretz Israel. And that's why, right? That's why when it says that when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, and then it says it was told to the king of Egypt that the Jews had fled, right? And they weren't coming back, had fled. Who told Mitzrayim about this? Amalek. Because he wanted to prevent them to coming there to Israel.
After the Jews left Mitzrayim, Hamolek told Pharaoh.
Pharaoh, that what he called to the Jews are fleeing, they're not coming back to Mitzrayim, right? They're just going out to serve their God.
Pharaoh knew that.
Pharaoh said, he told them to leave, but what he called, but they'd fled and they're not planning on coming back, right? Because originally the deal was just let us out and we'll go serve Hashem, right? But Molech came and told Pharaoh, they're not coming back. That's when Pharaoh began to pursue him, because Amalek was trying to prevent Klal Yisrael from getting into Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Why? We'll see. V'chein, v'kach, v'chein higid l'lovon. Right? It also says in Sefer Bereishis, right, that when Yaakov fled at Lavan's house to go back to Eretz Yisrael, it says it was told to Lavan, kivarach Yaakov, same terminology, it was told to Lavan that Yaakov had fled. Who told Lavan? Says what he called the Baal HaTorim. Amalek told Lavan.
Who were Amalek?
Amalek was the grandson of what he called of Esav.
They were around.
Right. Amalek told what he called Lavan. Right, because Amalek was the son of Eliphaz, and Eliphaz was the son of Esav. So he's the grandson of Esav. The Chenhigi to Lavan, ki Baruch Yaakov. Baal HaTorim. Shemaz kirba arami ovid avi. Right? And that's why it says, right, in Parshas Bikurim, it starts off with, in our Parsha, in Kisavo, it talks about the fact that there was an Aramean who tried to destroy me. Who was that? That was Lavan. Lavan. So that's what Baal HaTorim says. Baal HaTorim is always very concise and very cryptic. So let's take a look for a second. Let's look. We'll see that there really is something very deeply connected between what Bikurim stand for and Bechlal, Klal Yisrael's entry into Eretz Yisrael, and how Lavan, right, is diametrically opposed to that.
I see that now. The Quran is like a declaration that we still hear that Hashem is breaking down.
Okay. Right. Let's see. Right. Let's see. Let's go even further. So then the next pasuk says in pasuk Beis, says of Lakachta, Mireishis Priya Adama, Asher Tavi Mi'artzacha. Right. This is the beginning of our parsha here. You'll take from the first fruits that you'll bring from your land. Asher Hashem Lekecha Nosin Lecha, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu Nosin Lach is given to you. The Samta Batene, and you'll place in a basket. Tene. V'Halachta El Amokum Asher Yivchar Hashem Lekecha L'Shaken Shmo Sham. And you go to the place that Hashem has caused His divine presence to dwell there, i.e., the Beis Hamikdash. Says the Baal Turim, Tene. Everybody calls it not Kamis, not common. Tene. Tene begematria Samach. Tene is numerically equal to Samach, to 60. Right? Tess is 9, and Nun is 50, 59, and Aleph is 1, 60. Remez lebikurim echad mishishim. That's a remez, right? To bikurim, that the amount for bikurim is 1 out of 60.
Lachach ne'el. Bikurim is the first.
The first fruits.
How did they get 1 out of 60?
No, you take what you call a shear of 1 out of 60 is from recall from what you call it from your crops, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. V'lachach ne'alam, right, samach b'parshas bikurim. And that's why if you look in all of the parsha of bikurim, of Arami, Ovid, Ovi, the whole story, the whole 9 yards, you'll find letter samach. Bikurim is 1 out of 60,
mm-hmm.
Right? Right? And samach, and you won't find the letter samach in any of the words in parshas bikurim. The letter samach doesn't appear there. So, the Maharal says in Derech Chaim, in Zagdama to Avos, he says, Samach mitch, what do you call the Shlonemar Samach mitchilas Torah ad Brias Aisha, Shenemar v'yizgor basar tachtena. Maharal says that the letter Samach is representative of physicality. Right? The first time, it actually appears someplace else, and he explains why in Derech Chaim, that's not our point. He says, the letter Samach appears the first time with regard to a person, yeah, by the creation of woman. She's made from basar, from flesh. And that's physicality. And the samach.
Wait, what word do they use to indicate that man was made?
No, the woman was made, what do you call? The man is made, what do you call? He's not made from flesh. She was made from the dust. Woman was made from the flesh of man. Right? That's what you made. So she was made from something that was already chomri, in the chomri part of a, what do you call, person. Again.
What words did he use for that?
A yizgor. That what he would call it. Hashem took off the, let's say, the side, right? Or split them in half. Mm-hmm. And then it's by yizgor, he closed up the hole, right, from where Adam had been operated upon. Right? So the samach, right, there, that's the first time the samach appears. With regard to mankind,
Vayiskor,
right? To close up the what do you call it? Vav Yud Samach Gimel Vav Reish Vayiskor, to close, like to score the delet, close up the wound where he'd been, was detached, right? And the idea being, right, says the Maharal, that the letter Samach, right, is representative of physicality. Right? Physicality. Why? Because it's a completely closed, right, circle. Just like the way the world appears, if you look at it, just as being a physical creation, it looks like it's a continuing circle all the time. You don't see, right, that we're going anywhere in particular. It just seems like it's today, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace. Right, over and over and over, the circle. That's what a samach is.
There's other things. We have circle one, we have egg, and then we come back from when we come back from our shiva, we eat a, you know.
Okay, it's not. It's what he called. That's. It's not. It's again. That's. It's. A, we were talking about that erechnami. That is. The, you're right. That's the. That's the. Right, when you eat the egg, it comes back to show that it's what he called that. This event of the morning is what he calls a galgal chozer. It's true, but the letter, right? The letters of the aleph bays are the building blocks of creation, just like the physical building blocks of creation are compounds and molecules and atoms and subatomic particles and subatomic particles, etc. So too the building blocks of creation itself, the reality itself, are the letters of the Aleph base. And the letter Aleph of Samach, right? The letter Samach is representative of what he called of the cycle. It's called in Kabbalah they call it the world of Igulim, right? Of Igulim. Of circles where things look like they're just repeating themselves, and what you call, you don't see a direction. On a line, you see you're going someplace. On a circle, it looks like you're just repeating the same thing over and over again. That's the nature of teva, right? And in the world, what you call in the again, without getting lost in the roundabouts, but the just like it says by, in a positive sense, that Avraham Avinu is the source of all the souls of the Jewish people. Right, Sara Imenu is the source of all the bodies of the Jewish people. Right, you know, in order to exist in this world, you know, you need both spirituality linked with physicality. Right, you need both. Otherwise, you can't exist. Right, you can't exist. You need both. If you have no spirituality, you have no direction. You have no physicality, you have no existence. You have no existence or to be in Olam Hazeh. So, therefore, with the creation of woman, right. Right, the letter Samach first appears because that's the beginning of what he called, the corporeal side of man, the corporeal side of man, what he called the physical side of man. Albeit that Adam was also physical, right? But again, he wasn't created from what was already flesh. He was created, right? Flesh is God. We know. Flesh has got its temptations. Flesh has got its enjoyments. Flesh has got its etc. etc. etc.
So I was thinking that when a person gets older, he goes through a cycle, and he never stays the same. There's always physical changes to him.
Of course, yeah.
So there must be the same with nature. There must be physical changes in nature that maybe are leading to the end of time or something. That we just
is this a picture of the we call it protecting the ozone layer? Don't worry. I'm ashamed. Shem will keep the world. He'll keep the world going until.
So human nature, and there must be physical changes. Could you say this like nature over and over and over again, but you just can't see the changes. It's not a machine.
Right. Okay. Could be. So what does he say? Right. So funny when it comes. Okay. It says, and then it says, you'll come to the Kohen. Asher yeba yomim mahim. V'amarte elav. Higariti ayom l'Hashem elokecha. Ki basi el ha'aretz asher nishba Hashem l'avoseinu l'aseis lanu. Right. And you'll come to the Kohen in those days. And you'll say to him, I declare that I've come to the land that Hashem swore to give to our forefathers and us. Va'amarte elav, right? What did you say to him? Says Rashi, va'amarte elav she'eincha kofui tova. That you're not, right? You don't deny the good that Hashem has given you. And that's the nature of the mitzvah of Bikurim is to recognize where the good of your life is coming from. Right? You don't deny, you don't say, oh, it's just natural. Right, it's not natural. You don't take it for granted. You give thanks to Hashem. You mak your tov. You're not kofui tov. You don't cover over the tov that you've received from somebody else. You mak your tov. You recognize the tov that you've received from Hashem. And that's the first thing. That's the idea of bikurim. Like the Baal HaTorah said before, the shir bikurim, right? In your Yoredeya, when you have 60 times the amount of something, right? It's batal. You don't recognize it. It's kilo. It's not there anymore. It's batal b'shishim. If it's 1 out of 60, then that's the minimum amount of still recognizing there's something there, one out of 60. In other words, to be butl, it needs one out of 61. You need 60. You need 60 portions against it to be mevatlet. So that's what the Baal Torim said before, that the shear of bikurim is the least, the, what he called the minimal amount of recognition that you have to give, right, to Hashem. In other words, it doesn't allow the 60, the samach, right, which represents a world that appears to be teva, to be mevatlet. The shear of bikurim is one out of 60. Yeah. Now, there's only 59 parts to get it, and at least you're still holding on to reality that Hashem is the source of what you got, and not what do you call, not the other way around, thinking that what do you call, that it's all just natural. So there's no samach, right? There's no samach in what he called in the letters of Parshas Bikurim. There's no samach. The shear of Bikurim, the what do you call, is one out of 60. In other words, there's only 59, not 60, that it could be mevatlet. And the tene, right, the basket, is serving. In other words, the world of the teva is meant to serve the bikurim, which are a statement of Hakaras HaTov, that are placed inside of it. The kli is meshamish, the kli is batel, what they call it to, that which is inside the kli. It's serving it. So the idea being is that a Jew, as he comes into Eretz Yisrael, and this is the first, what they call, this is the first, as it were, mitzvah that's meant to typify all of relationship with the land of Eretz Yisrael, is to be based upon Hakaras HaTov, recognizing the Tov that Hashem gave you. Hashem is the source of everything, and He has given you existence, and He gave you Eretz Yisrael, and He gave you these fruits. That's Bikurim. That's Bikurim. And then, what do you say? In Pasuk Hey, Vanisa Vamarta, right? Right. The Goraya just says basically what I just said now, that you come to Eretz Yisrael to recognize that Hashem is the source of everything that you have. Hakaras HaTov, right? Existence, the Bikurim, Eretz Yisrael, right? You're not Kofui Tova. Then what do you say? Vanisa Vamarta, Lusnei Hashem Lekecha, Arami Oved Avi, Vayered Mitzrayma. A funny thing. My, what do you call, there was an Aramean who tried to destroy my father. And then I went down to Mitzrayim, and I lived there, what you call it, few in numbers, and I became a great nation. No, that's what Bikurim is. It's really, we say it also on Leil Seder, right? We say this partial Bikurim at Leil Seder, because it's the synopsis of the history of the Jewish people. It starts off with, there was an Aramean who tried to destroy my father. We went down to Mitzrayim. We started off, what you call it, very small, and we grew to be a great nation. Look at how Lavan tried to destroy Yaakov. This is from the Maasei Hashem, Rav Elazar Ashkenazi. When Lavan, right, catches up with Yaakov, after Yaakov leaves, he leaves with the whole family, right, and Lavan catches up with him at Har Gilad, right, just before he went to Eretz Yisrael. And he says to Rikod, Lavan says to him, he says, Ki nichsof nichsafta, you desire to go back, lebeis avicha, to your father's house. You desire to go back to your father's house. Lama ganav telohai, why did you steal my gods? Because he couldn't find his trophim, right? There's a lot of things that Lavan says over there, right? And we'll discuss a couple of them. But this first thing here, he says, you desire to go back to your father's house. Why did you steal my gods? Why is he connecting the two things? What does one have to do with the other? Just ask him, why did you steal my gods? Why did you steal my trophim? Why did you steal my idol? So Maase Hashem says a very important thing here. Ubamesha Omar. And now that you said, yeah, this is recall. This is Lavan speaking to what he called to Yaakov, right? Lavan's talking to Yaakov. You desire to go back to the house of your father. Lama ganav telohai? Why did you steal my gods? Kvar biyarnu beperk shesneze. Sheish tishol my ina omo shenichsaf el beis aviv. Right? Hello, bein ichsaf, bein lo nichsaf. Rak lemakom acher. He says, it doesn't make any difference where he wanted to go. He wanted to go back to his father's house. He wanted to go to Vegas. Who cares? Right? But that's not the question. The question is, why did you steal my God? Says the Maaseh Hashem, no, they're linked.
What's linked again?
Well, in other words, he makes two statements to Yaakov. You desire to go back to your father's house.
Right.
Why did you steal my gods? So Maase Hashem asks, he says, why is he bringing in, you decide to go back to your father's house? If he decided to go anywhere, he wanted to go to Singapore, right? The question still stands, why'd you steal my gods? Who cares where you wanted to go? Right? He was running after him, not because he didn't say he was running after him because he was going back to his father's house. He says, running back to him because he required to steal my gods. He says, there's a Masi Hashem. Masi Hashem. Omnam Nira, right? Shel Lachain, Kol Magamas Panav. We see from here that Lavan's whole intention vis-a-vis Yaakov was to destroy him spiritually. He wanted, right, Yaakov to come over to be like him. Right? He wanted they should all live together and they should become like Yaakov should become like him. Yaakov should integrate and assimilate, right? And Yaakov's really cool whole belief in Hashem should be watered down to nothing. So that's why he says to Yaakov, he says, you know, if you'd stolen my gods, so I wouldn't have been upset. I'd say, hey man, you learned a lesson from me. You chip off the old block, right? You want to be a manipulator like me. You want to be using these things in order to be able to tell the future and stuff like that. Get yourself a job as a used car salesman. I want to go out. Heck, I would have been pleased as punch. He says, but it doesn't make any sense. You want to go back to your father's house. You don't want to stay with me. You're rejecting.
Okay, kind of
right. You're rejecting my culture. You're rejecting what I wanted to do to you. Right? So what did you steal my gods for? So that's what the Maaseh Hashem says, right? That's what the Maaseh Hashem says. That's how Arami Ovid Avi. He was a destroyer of my father. In other words, he tried to destroy him, not physically try to destroy him. He tried to destroy him spiritually. And that's what we see in this idea over here. Which is, you want to go back to your father's house, and you don't make any sense. You've flipped your gourd, right? You don't want to go back to your father's house, which means you don't want my lifestyle, and then you go and steal my gods. Make up your mind, man. Right? But then there's more that Lovin says, right? Lovin also says, you're down over here, Vayan Lovin, Vayomer El Yaakov, Habanos Benosai, Vabanim Bonai, Vatzon Tzoni. Yaakov turns, Lovin says to Yaakov, he says, you know, these women here, they're my daughters, they're mine. Vabanim Bonai, and you know their children? They're mine, right? Vatzon, you see all these flocks you got here, right? They're mine. Vatzon Tzoni, it's all mine. It's all mine. Now, there's no matter that Yaakov worked for him for so many years, and no matter that he changed Yaakov's salary a zillion times, and no matter that he was blessed, what he called, right, with increases in his own flocks when Yaakov came, because Yaakov was such a, what he called, a faithful worker, and no matter that he never had sons, right, until Yaakov showed up and brought bracha to his house, none of that exists. All that exists is, it's all mine. The chol asher atah ro'eh lihu, everything here that you got in your encampment, Jake, is mine. It's mine. Ma'eh se'leil ayom ulevneim Asher Yoladu. What do you call it? What can I do to them? Right, today, to my daughters, to what he called. He doesn't call them his daughters, he calls them Ela, these, right? And to what he called, and to their children and all this. I won't do anything today. Right? It's, but it's all mine. Mine. It says the Ksav the Kabbalah. Right? Very interesting, the Farish. He says, Abanos Benosai, the daughters are mine. Would I steal anything from you? I don't have to steal it because it's not yours, it's mine. He's totally egocentric. And the sheep are mine, right? And everything is mine. Right? He goes into a long discussion over here. Right? This kind of, you know, we see his total egocentricity. Right? We see his total egocentricity. So we see fused, what do you call it, in Lovin's personality and Lovin's intentions. His intentions are to destroy Yaakov, right, to turn him into an idolater like him. And his interpersonal relationships, it's all about me. That's Lovin. It's all about me. Everything here is mine. Everything is mine. It's all mine. It's all mine. Right? That's the way he views the world. Right? That's the way he views what other people, even what he called, yeah, who are in his life, it's all mine. So the two things that typify love, and he tried to destroy Yaakov spiritually, to bring him into a world of idolatry, and also at the same time, we see that his relationship with what we call other people and other things around him, it's all mine. It's all egocentric. What else did it say over here that when we say in the beginning of Parshas Bikurim, Arami Ovid Avi, an Aramean wanted to destroy my father. And then it says, Vayered Mitzrayim. And then we wound up going down to Mitzrayim. So if you look at Mitzrayim, you find a similar pattern as well. In the beginning of Sefer Shmos, it says here, Vayakom Melech Hadash, on top of page 2. Vayakom Melech Hadash, al Mitzrayim, asher lo yada es Yosef. A new king, right, came to Egypt, right, who didn't know Yosef.
I understand what's going on now.
Because now we just discussed in the first line of Bikurim, it says, Avanitza Marta, you'll say before Hashem Elokecha, Arami Ovidavi, the destroyer, what do you call, the destroyer was, someone, an Aramean tried to destroy my father. That's Lavan. We discussed Lavan, what typified Lavan. Lavan wanted to destroy Yaakov spiritually, and Lavan is a totally egocentric, right, person, right? The fact that he has the gall to say to Yaakov that everything you see over here is all mine. It's all mine, right? And then what was our next step? That we talk in Parshas Bikurim, went down to Mitzrayim. So let's examine Mitzrayim for a second, right? First Lavan, right? Then Mitzrayim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's examine Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, it says in Parshas Shmos, it says Vayakom Melech Kadosh, a new king rose in Egypt. Al Mitzrayim, Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef. He didn't know Yosef. He didn't know Yosef. Says Rashi, what do you mean didn't know Yosef? Right? Osa atzmo ki lo'olo yada. It's not that he didn't know about Yosef. How can any Egyptian, certainly not the king, not know about Yosef? Right? He saved Egypt. He saved Egypt. He made Egypt a world power. And he saved them. Right? I mean, they were a power before, but recall, he made them look so wealthy. Says Rashi, osa atzmo ki lo'olo yada. It's not that he didn't know him. He conducted himself as though he didn't know what Yosef had done. Right, from Mitzrayim. He made himself, he turned a blind eye, right? Ignoring. He was not a Makir Tov. He was a Kofet Tov. He didn't want to admit that, what he called, that Egypt had anything to owe to Yosef and his people, the Jews, right? Says the Medrash Rabbah, Asher lo yada es Yosef. He didn't know Yosef. V'chi lo haya Makir es Yosef. He didn't know Yosef. Amr Rav Avin, Mashal Echad, Sharogam Oavo Shel Melech. What's this comparable to? To a person, what do you call it, who stoned, right, the beloved of the king. He stoned first the beloved of the king. And then afterwards, right, Sharogam Oavo Shel Melech, Amr HaMelech, Hetizus Rosho, right? He threw rocks at the beloved of the king. The king says, cut his head off. Why? He says, because anybody who throws rocks at the beloved of the king today, tomorrow is going to throw rocks at the king. Right? He teases Rosho. Ki l'machar yase bi'kach. He'll do the same thing to me. L'chach kosav alav ha-mikra klomar hayom asher lo yada es Yosef. L'machar osid lomar lo yadati es Hashem. Right? And the same paro, in the beginning, right, he says, I don't know who Yosef is. He didn't pretend he didn't know Yosef. Later on, when Moshe comes and he to speak to him, he says, I don't know who Hashem is. So in other words, we see that we call it that Kfias Tova in Mitzrayim, right? In other words, the idea of what do you call it, of Bikurim, coming and declaring that I recognize that Hashem is the source of everything and that I owe him everything and I'm Makar Tov to him. For having brought me to Eretz Yisrael and given me these fruits, etc., that's the antithesis of what our historical experience was vis-a-vis both Lavan, right, and what he called Mitzrayim. Lavan is a person who is what he called who tried to destroy Yaakov by turning him into an idolater, right, by destroying his worldview, and Lavan we see is a person who's fueled with egocentricity, right. Everything is mine. Everything you see is mine. And in Mitzrayim. Right? Where's Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim is the same thing in Paro. He denies, what do you call it? First, he's not Makir Tov to Yosef, who had saved Mitzrayim. And at the end, he says, I don't know who God is either. Right? He's the essence of Kfias Tova. So we talk about Dafka, those two things, right? When we declare that we recognize Hashem has given us everything, right? This is the world that we were extracted from, and this is the world that we try consistently and forever to remove ourselves from, not to become egocentric and not to be kofim letova, because that's the world of idolaters. The world of idolaters. In the next parsha in Kisavel, after Bikurim, it talks about Bir Maestris. Bir Maestris, in other words, at the end of the third year, right? After every 3 years in the Brikot, I got rid of all the Meister Sheni, gave it to all the Maestris, etc. Bir Maestris. So make a declaration over there. When you come to the Beis HaMikdash Arta, Lefnei Hashem Elokechem Biarta, Kodesh Min HaBayis, וגם נסתיב לו ללוי, לגר, ליוסם, אלמוני, ככל מצטחוי שצביסני, לא עבדתי מצטחה ולא שכחתי. Right? I did everything I was supposed to do with the maestros. So Rashi says, ולא שכחתי, I didn't forget. So Rashi says, מלבורך על הפרושס maestros. I didn't forget to make the bracha on הפרושס maestros. Right, to make the bracha on it. In other words, I did it right. So they'll ask the question, the bracha? There's no bracha there, Raisa. Afrashas Maestras, the bracha's Rabbanan. What bracha are we supposed to do? What bracha are you talking about? I mean, there's a bracha? So Shemi Shmuel brings here a very interesting thing. He says, Lo Shachachti, Pirish Rashim Nivarech al Afrashas Maestras. V'tamua. That's a little strange. But bracha's Rabbanan. Bracha's Amitzvahs are all the Rabbanan. There are only two brachas, dear Isa. There's bracha's a Torah, right? Right? That's written in the Torah. And there's bracha on mazon, but there's no bracha on mitzvahs. What bracha is he talking about? V'nei kvok tushasa adoni mori v'rabi zechatzarik levracha. Right, his father Avnei Nezer was one of the great poskim of all generations. Avnei Nezer said, "B'shem shas and shuvus rimigash." Right, the rimigash. Right, but what are the rebbe of the father of the what do you call it, of the Rambam? Right, the rimigash. What are the gdole what do you call Rishonim? Dekai al bircha shechiyano. In other words, he says it's a very interesting thing. It's a chiddush. He says the bracha of shechiyano, to rejoice over Hashem giving you life to be able to come to this point again, that's the bracha that he's talking about here. He's suggesting that bracha, right, is a deraisa kilo to give the bracha of shechiyano, to give thanks for Hashem to give me the opportunity to do what, to be mekayim this mitzvah. That only comes around once in a while. Right? And so suggest that that's the Raisa, the Rimigash. Right? That's the bracha we're talking about here. Why? Because that's the bracha of Hakor Satov. Shechianu v'kimanu v'giyanu l'azman hazeh. That you gave me life to be able to mekayim this mitzvah. Right? This mitzvah. What do you call it? Again. Right? Shechianu. Kavonas advarim, says the Shem Yishmur. Ki ikra mitzvah hu Hachius vaSimcha vaChuka, Chukas Adam laMitzvah. The eager life of the mitzvah is what I call it, the joy and the desire, right, that a person has in doing the mitzvah. V'hainu shu osa mitzvah miPnimius aLeiv, that he does the mitzvah not just like dead wood, like what would like to refer to as mitzvahs anoshim milu mada.
Can you start that sentence over again?
Yeah. He says the ikar of the mitzvah, the ikar the ikar of any mitzvah is the life, is the simcha, is the excitement, is the desire to want to do it. Right? Right? Obviously you have to do the act. You can't just do it in your mind. You got to do the act. Right? But he says, but the soul of the mitzvah is in the excitement and in the simcha of it. And a person should always be, when am I going to have the opportunity to do this mitzvah again? Rather than, what a bear, I got to do this again. Alright, Shvir Tzayin Yid, it's difficult being Jewish, I'll do it. Right? Instead, he should be excited and desirous, right? When can I have an opportunity to do this mitzvah again? V'chein Amar HaKosuf. Hein am kelavi akum karis nasal pirush Rashi sheomnim mishinasim shachris, right? V'chotvim es hamitzvus, right? A mitzvah, right? A Jew should get up in the morning. Oh, another opportunity to serve Hashem. Not like, oh man, I can't eat now. I gotta go daven. Oh, gosh, right? Well, yeah, I want to go outside now. Got a bench. Oh man, what a bear. Yeah. V'zeh mora. Al godel hishtokakus la mitzvah, right? The desire to be attached to the world of mitzvos, because mitzvos we know are eternal, right? And mitzvah, like we said before, the word mitzvah itself, right, is from the lashon of tzavta, to be together, right? Together with Hashem. Together with Hashem. So that's a great opportunity. A person should always be looking for mitzvahs to do. V'zeh lo nimtza etzel umos ha'olam, rak etzel Yisrael. It's not found by the rest of the world. The rest of the world is, you know, okay, I want to live life, don't bug me. Okay, you tell me I got to do this, fine, okay, I'll do it. But nobody's plotting to, what do you call it, to do anything other than what is self-serving. Right? That's the difference. Sha'pnimius shalhem, he, what do you call it, Sha'pnimius shalhem mitovo. The Jewish people, our kishkes on the inside, are good. We get messed up sometimes. We mess ourselves over. But our deepest self on the inside is good. Valkain Bilam Shitzafa Vara Malas Yisrael Shibech Osam Bezeh Shlo Nimtza Etzel Zulos. And that's why Bilam, when he blesses the Jewish people, he says, really cool, there's no one else like them. There's no one else like them. It's interesting, because Chazal say that Bilam was Lavan. Right? It was a Gilgal of Lavan. Very interesting. Valkain Bircha Shechyanu Hi Diraisa. And that's why Shechyanu, the Rebbe Gashva success, is Diraisa. Because that's the essence of what he called of the Jew, to show his eagerness to want to do a mitzvah. Ki ze ikra mitzvah, ki she'osa b'simcha, v'chius, v'ze mora b'ircha shechiyano kamuvan. Of course, that's the idea of shechiyano, that you've given me life to be able to do this mitzvah. Right? U'b'ze yuvan ma'moram, shechur ben abayis. Now, he says something very interesting here. Very, very interesting. We know the first base of Mikdash was destroyed because of Gidrai Shvichas Dam and Avodah Zarah. The second base of Mikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. Interestingly enough, the Ramban says that the Tochacha, right, that we have in Parshas B'chukosai at the end of Ayikra, and we have in this week's Parsha in Kisavol, says they're parallel to the destruction of the two Batei Mikdash. The one in Vayikra, at the end of Vayikra, in B'chukosai, it talks about the first destruction, the one that sent us into Golis and Bavel, right? And the second one, the one here in this Parsha, is talking about the second base of Mikdash, which is destroyed because of Sin Aschinim, because of basal hatred. He says the two ideas, right, are linked. What? And there's the idea of not being eager to do mitzvos, and Sin Aschinim are linked. How? Listen to this. L'chora, hello, cousin. Before us, Tachas Asher Lovaritzas Hashem Lekech V'Simcha V'Tuv Leiv of Rov Kol. In here in the Tochacha, it says, really cool, which Ramban says is talking about the destruction by Hashem. He says, why does all happen? Because he didn't work over Hashem B'Simcha. Tachas Asher Lovaritzas Hashem Lekech V'Simcha V'Tuv Leiv of Rov Kol. Because you didn't serve Hashem, required of Simcha. That's why all this happened to you. That's why the Tochacha came by. That's why the second base of Mikdash destroyed. So how can Chazal say the reason why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of sin is chinam? The pasuk says the reason it was destroyed because it didn't serve Hashem b'simcha, right? So it says what he called. It says the Shem Yishmuel, right? Ulahanal yuvan. We can understand it based upon what the Rimagash taught us. V'hinei be'emes be'primius klal Yisrael heim echad. In our insides, we're all attached to each other because we're all what he called. We're all from one soul. We're all from one soul. Raksha machmas hagufim nasa pirud. We're in different bodies, but all from one soul. One soul. Valkenim hayu osim hamitzvos v'simcha. If each Jew were living in his internal world of simcha over mitzvos, of dveikus b'Hashem, then he'd be living in the world of where all souls are attached. Right? He wouldn't come to baseless hatred. It's only the world of the physical that creates hatred. Because everybody in there, everybody, what he calls subliminally, sees himself as vying with the other person for the goods of life, for the money, for the power, for the prestige, for the, what he calls the pleasures, etc. Right? It's only in the world of the physical that people perceive as others as being in conflict, right? Or being their adversaries, or being, you know, what he calls, or struggling for the same goods or merchandise, etc. And that brings about hatred. But if we're living in the world of simcha shel mitzvah, right? Of simcha shel mitzvah, they'd be living in an eternal world where all the souls are united. The hainu, apnimius halev kanal, memela hayu misachdim. We would all be one, right? There wouldn't be any fights, etc. And that's what it means. Tachas hashel avarit Hashem lekecha v'simcha v'tuv leivav, right? So what do you call it? The the Avnei Nezer brought from Moshe Lev Misasov, one of the great Hasidic masters, Moshe Lev Misasov. Madua machmas menias asimcha magia onesh godol kolkach. He asked the question here in our parsha. It says at the end of the Tocha, Tachas, all this happened to you because you didn't serve Hashem out of simcha. So he asked the question, why do we deserve such a big punishment just because we weren't over Hashem b'simcha? The answer is, why? Because once a person is not being over Hashem b'simcha, right, then what happens is he becomes totally preoccupied with his egocentric self, with the world of externals, with the world of the mundane, right? And that brings him eventually to baseless hatred. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and that's why we go into Golus. So in other words, the idea of Simcha Shel Mitzvah is the antithesis, and especially here Bikurim, it's Simcha Shel Mitzvah, based upon Hakaras HaTov, thankfulness to Hashem, that He's given us everything. Meshech Chochma says, on the Pasuk, Tachas Yishol Avarat HaShem Elkecha B'Simcha Tuv Lever Me'ov Kol, he says, the problem is that what made you happy? I'm synopsizing the Meshech Chochma. Right? What made you happy? Physical things, right? Only what he called only lots more of this and more of that and more of the next thing. And that's why, right, called that's what destroyed you. That's what messed you over, right? That's what turned you into what he called unfortunately a people who deserve gullus. Because the only thing that made you happy was more this, more that, more the next thing. But not what he called not closeness to Hashem. That's what Meshech Chochma says. There's a lot of ways to understand the pasuk. That's what Meshech Chochma says. But even it feeds into the same idea over here. So that's why you think about it, right? You think about it, that the whole parsha of Bikurim, right? We started off with the whole idea of the whole parsha of Bikurim was to not allow the physical world to drown us, right? How do we keep the physical world from drowning us? Is when we do mitzvahs with Hakaras HaTov to Hashem, right? That He gave us existence, He gave us the opportunity to guide mitzvahs, and we do it b'simcha, right? That was the whole beginning that we talked about, not allowing the 60, the samach, as a word, to drown us, right, in the world. And there in the Parsha Bikurim, we talk about the idea, we give thanks for what? Hashem saved us from Lavan, and He saved us from Mitzrayim. Because both of those, not just our physical enemies, but they're our spiritual enemies, because they're typified by egocentricity, they're typified by what He called, by non-hakaras hatov, and Hashem extracted us from there, right? And that's what the context of the Mitzvah Bikurim. And finally, the last thing, right, is the famous Rabbeinu, the famous, this is what he calls this famous Rabbeinu Bachye, mm-hmm. right, which we've done before. He brings a medrash. Tachas asher lovadat Hashem lokecha b'simcha v'tuv leva v'reim kol, that you didn't serve Hashem out of simcha. The medrash says, what he called, the Rabbeinu Bachye brings from the, based upon the medrash, that simcha is special in all mitzvahs. Simcha, right, it's a special chelik of the mitzvah, to do it b'simcha. Do it b'simcha. And he brings a medrash that says, he brings three examples of three great people who did big things, but had they known that what they were doing was going to be written in the Torah, they would have done them even better. One was Reuven, when he saved Yosef. The Medrash says, Bein Abachi brings, that if Reuven had known they were going to write in him the Chumash, in the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, that he saved Yosef, he wouldn't have just thrown him into the pit so they didn't kill him right away. He would have grabbed Yosef, put him on his shoulders, and run home with him. Right? By Aaron HaKohen, it says in the Chumash that he didn't have a jealous bone in his body. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu was going to replace him as what he called as the new leader of the Jewish people, the pasuk says upon him, Baracha v'samach b'libo. It's said about Aaron that he'll see you. Hashem says to Moshe, he's going to see you and he'll be rejoicing in his heart. Right? What a great heart, what a magnificent heart, what a magnanimous heart Aaron had. But if Aaron had known that they were going to write about him in the Chumash, in Hashem's Torah, that he was showing selflessness by doing that, right? He would have come to greet Moshe with a brass band. Not just he would have been happy in his heart, he would have come with a brass band, celebrating Moshe's becoming the new Navi to take his place in Mitzrayim. If Boaz had known that he gave, what he called, that he's going to give, show a little bit of kindness to Ruth, right, when she's picking things out of the sada there, when she came as a poor, what he called Gioras, right? If he had known that they were going to write upon him in Megillas Rus, that's what he did, he wouldn't have given her just a little bit of barley, he would have given her steaks, right? He would give her steaks. And these are all, what's so interesting is, these are all actions, good actions, right? Good actions. And they're all actions, especially interesting, they're all actions of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Both Reuven, both, what do you call, both Aaron, both Boaz, all of them are all Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. If a person knew, right, that everything that he does, especially when it comes to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, right? It's not an exclusive that. I'm not talking just exclusive that, but I'm saying Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, because that's what he called, that's what generates what he called the sense of strife of what he called, I gotta get it, you can't get it, I'm gonna be first, I'm not gonna get ahead of me, etc., etc., etc. That whole worldview, that whole what he called, the whole jealousy branded and based upon worldview, right? In the world of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, these are all examples of that. If we knew that the recorded in Shemayim, then when we relate to them properly, our dealings with one another, right? Even the best of dealings that we do, right? We should do them the best as possible because it's all being written down. It'd be a different world. We'd be different people. We'd be different individuals. And that's what the Medrash, right, that Rabbeinu Bachya brings. He doesn't bring the end of the Medrash. The end of the Medrash says, and so too, right? So too. Rabbi Yeshua Diskin B'Shem Rav Levi says at the end of that Medrash that Rabbeinu Bachya brings, L'sha'avar, right? L'sha'avar haya adam osa mitzvah, the navi kosva, right? And when the Tanakh was still open. So what do you call it? So Reuven did what he did, what he called, it's written in the Torah. And Aaron did what he did, and it's written in the Torah. And Boaz did what he did, and it's written in the Torah. V'achshav, right? The Torah's been closed. There are no additional books that we call in Tanakh. Now when a man does a mitzvah, Mikosva, who writes it, says what he calls, says Rav Yeshua de Sichnin, Elio Kosva, Elio Anavi writes the mitzvah, Umelech HaMashiach V'Kodesh Baruch Hu Chosem Al Yedeyim, and Melech HaMashiach and the Rebbeinu Shalom, they sign, right, they testify, but they call it that person did that mitzvah, who would receive the last words of the Navi and say from Malachi, as Nidro Yireh Hashem Ishel Reyehu, and of course Baruch Hu writes it all down. It's all down. So this is what he called, this is the way to live, this is the way to be, right? If a person is at worm, is besimcha when he does mitzvahs, especially in what he called, in those areas of what he called Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, we think, oh, I'm doing the guy a favor if I do it, and certainly what he called, we have to overcome the ideas, I don't want to do anything for anybody else, what he called, you know, it bugs me, this is too much, this is what he called. These are all opportunities, as it were, right, to enter into the truth and enter into the depths of who we really are. There'd be no sinas chinam, right, and it'd all be written down upstairs in our books, the stories of our lives, and the world would be a better place, and the gula would come. So, next question, it's from Queen.